Everybody, and welcome to our latest Skewcast. I'm Gareth Von Kallenbach, creator of Skewed and Reviewed, and you can also catch me on the BJ Shea Morning Experience on KISW-FM, their syndicated show, BJ Shea's Geek Nation, as well as in our quarterly magazine. We're about to have a June issue out very soon. You can catch that at Barnes & Noble, Magster, and other outlets. And we can also catch us on the site at sknr.net. We're in the process of rebuilding the site after a cyber attack. The new one's coming along really well. And with me is Justin from Outpost AVP, and also does some great stuff for our Arizona office. And we're going to be talking about E3. I was there last week, and I got a lot of coverage in, and of course we've been doing a lot of coverage for that. But today Justin is going to start off with some breaking news about Microsoft, who didn't fare too well at the conference. And facing a backlash of negativity, they've actually responded to it today. And Justin, why don't you tell us what's going on?
Hey, so, yeah, Microsoft is taking a complete 180. So I guess you can call the new Xbox the Xbox 180, which is actually catching on right now if you're on the internet. And basically, what they did is something that I called it. I don't know if I called it on the show, but at least among my friends, I basically had said that I think Microsoft is going to backtrack quite a bit on a lot of this DRM, and they did it in full, which I guess I wasn't really expecting that kind of reaction. I thought they would have been a little more careful, I guess, about, you know, retracting some of the DRM features of the Xbox, but no, they went completely 180. It no longer requires the constant internet connection, like every 24 hours. It doesn't require, you know, you to install your games to your console, you know, things like that that people were very upset about.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about it too is they also said it's not going to block used games and that sort of thing. My biggest issue with this is I would have liked to have seen them come out and do this from the beginning, rather than do that as a result of the just tons of backlash they were getting from basically getting handed it to them by Sony at the E3 Expo. I mean, I'm not sure if you followed this, but Amazon had done a pre-order poll, you know, which one are you getting, the PS4 or the Xbox One, and it was like 95% was PS4. And, you know, they were, all through E3, they were defiant, saying, oh, our system, digital is better. And even though developers were coming out and saying, guys, the PS4 is 50% more powerful, it has more features, it doesn't have any of these things, there's going to be more exclusives. And then it came out that Microsoft allegedly wasn't even running the game on the Xbox One at the system. It's been reported that they were showing these presentations on PC computers running Windows 7 with NVIDIA GTX card. Now, here's the funny thing. No, Windows 7, not Windows 8. You know, we reported all the problems we had with 8 and how unstable it was and how even with all their text coming on it, we were never able to get it stabilized. And their final solution was, quote, why don't you go out and buy a new computer and see if it works on that? Yeah. And my response was, no, we'll just stick with 7 because we know that works just fine. And, you know, my big thing is, okay, fine. You've done this not because you want to. Let's be very clear about this. I think this was done because they simply had no choice. And they realized they were not going to sell any of these units. And let's be honest, I'm sure developmental deal partners probably very clearly told them, you better rethink this or we're going to have to rethink our deals and our advertising and so on and so forth. I want to see a promise from them that they're not going to install this stuff a year, 2 years down the road. Once you go out and hook all these people, let's say you hook 5, 10, 15, 20 million people worldwide, and once they're hooked on the system, then say, hey, guess what? Since it was already built into the console, here comes the DRM, here comes the online connection. Sorry, you're already a customer now. What are you going to do? You know, and hide it behind in light of security concerns or something like that. That's my big concern.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that if they slowly kind of do this, like they slowly start implementing these features back in. And obviously, if Microsoft was willing to try to pitch this kind of idea, for the console to begin with, and they thought that we would be fine with it. I think that means that they're fully willing to do these kinds of things. It's not like, you know, they finally have seen the light and, you know, they'll never try this again.
Well, exactly. I mean, this console was built from the ground up to have these security and these privacy features built into it. They're not going to just keep them away just by not activating a certain thing. They're still going to be there, and all it's going to take is a, you know, system update to activate all these things. And like I said, after you've lashed out $500 and then all the accessories and, you know, you're a year or two in with this library of games, that's not the time for them to flip the switch and then go, guess what? You know,
yeah.
Good luck. So, you know, right now I'm thinking it's too little too late. My personal stance is I know that we're kind of, you know, expected to cover the system, but I think I'm going to take a wait and see. I'm going to let some of the staffers who want one get one, and I think they'll do the Xbox One coverage. I have a phone with the PS4 and the PC, and I want, you know, my biggest concern too is I'm not convinced this thing's going to be a stable, viable console at launch. I remember the issues they had with Xbox One. I remember the Red Ring of Death issues with Xbox 360. I still have concerns that they were not prepared for Sony to make their announcement when they did, and possibly are rushing the system to market, because so many of their announcements and their, you know, features don't really seem to be very well planned out. And I wonder if it's not quite up to specs. And, you know, I want to see where they are 6 months, a year from now. I want to see exclusives beyond Halo and Gears of War that make me excited to play that. And so, you know, we'll see. But it is going to be very interesting. I can tell you, at E3, the crowd around the Sony booth was considerably larger than the crowd around the Microsoft booth, and they were right next to each other. In fact, I could even go as far as to say I know it was bigger from a floor space standpoint, but the Nintendo booth was actually a little better attended than the Microsoft booth, so take that for what it was. Now, interesting thing about Nintendo, they didn't have their traditional big showcase event over at the Nokia Theater, but they very quietly, you know, without these elaborate press conferences, without making a big deal, kind of made it known that they're not going away. And they, you know, showed off Super Smash Brothers, Pikmin 3, Mario Kart 8, Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze, and a new Zelda game. And these are all Wii U exclusives. Sega introduced a new Sonic game that is coming out at Christmas time that is a Wii U exclusive as well. So while these didn't get the headlines of some of the other titles, it was very clear that Nintendo is saying, you know, we're not going away. And yes, while the Wii U sales have been disappointing to this date, don't count us out of the mix yet.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, Nintendo played a very interesting, like, I have some positives and negatives on Nintendo, and I typically say that I'm more of a Nintendo fan than the other two, just to get my biases out there. I usually get the most playtime out of my Nintendo consoles, mainly because I'm a PC gamer, so if I can get something on PC, I end up doing so. But with Nintendo, the thing I didn't really like was that it seemed like they played it real safe. I know Kotaku wrote an article on that, and I kind of agree. Like, they played sequels that were very standard. Not to say that, you know, always Nintendo sequels are the same as the last, but the specific franchises they chose and how to go about them seemed pretty safe. But at the same time, you know, I've been saying that exclusives are the thing that's going to really win a console war, because at the end of the day, now, especially today, now that, you know, the Xbox One is virtually no different than the PS4 other than price and interface, they're probably going to have pretty much the exact same lineup of games. So at the end of the day, what's the difference between an Xbox One and a PS4 now?
The PS4's got 50% more power.
That's true.
And so the developers have said that the developing features and abilities for it are greater, but, you know, that doesn't mean the Xbox One can't play certain games. Like you said, it's going to come down to what additional features can they add to make it?
Yeah, and I think Nintendo, like you said, I mean, they had a real quiet E3, and I think that was a good plan for them because they ended up probably saving a bunch of money not renting out the theater and having this big bombastic show to try to compete with the huge events that were PS4 and Xbox One. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, they're going into their second year, so they've already kind of gotten over that initial launch drought of software. So they can start pushing out more exclusives, and technically speaking, they showed more exclusives than the other two consoles.
Yes, they did. And, you know, the interesting thing is, I think in this regard, this is where Sony kind of tipped their hand with the launch event. What worked for them very well kind of made them a little throttled back a little bit at E3 in regard to when they announced the PS4 in February, they came out with all these titles, you know, Infamous Second Son, Killzone Shadowfall, so on and so forth. Whereas when they got to E3, the focus was on, now we're going to show you what it looks like, we're going to talk a little more about the features, and then we're going to throw the price point at you, and then we're going to give you hands-on time with the unit. They didn't use that opportunity to roll out a lot of new titles. Like, for example, EA's Titanfall, Microsoft was touting it as, you know, an Xbox One exclusive. Well, then it comes out that it's coming out for the PC as well, so it's hardly an Xbox One exclusive.
Right.
So that kind of limited things a bit. Now, Sony had a few other programs that they put out, but, you know, of course, their big thing was they were pushing, you're going to be able to play Destiny, which, yes, is also going to be on the PC and the Xbox One. You're going to be able to play Call of Duty Ghosts, same as that. But they also touted Diablo 3, which is coming for the consoles. We've heard Elder Scrolls Online is going to be coming for the consoles as well. So now you're seeing MMORPGs start to make their debut. You know, the hope is that in time you're going to get true cross-platform, and an Xbox and a PS4 and a PC player all play together. Well, right now I think that's still up in the air, but down the road I think that's where the industry is going. You know, we saw a lot of interesting things like Battlefield 4 with the Commanders mode, which is going to look really phenomenal when people are able to play it on the systems. They talked about how there's still going to be titles for the Xbox 360 and the PS3 for the next 3 years. I just read an article the other day that the final title for the PS2 is just about to come out, and once that's done, they're going to be retiring the console after 13 years of service. Now, essentially, it's still going to be out there. There's still going to be thousands of games. They're just simply saying there will be no more games released for the PS2 console after this point. And in a way, I think that bodes extremely well for Sony because it shows these consoles have a long life. They have a track record. The thing is still holding up. I mean, let's be mm-hmm. honest. The PS2 is still a solid, very dependable console for people that enjoy playing games from that generation. So, anyway, swinging over to the games, what of the games really stood out and got your attention at the show?
Let's see. You know, I was real impressed with, I kind of liked what they showed with The Division, because I don't think they ever showed anything before. I think that was announced at the show, actually, and it looked real cool. I'm real interested in seeing, you know, where it goes. I was real surprised that they announced Mirror's Edge 2. I think that'll be cool, and, you know, like we said, Battlefront by DICE, like, that was pretty obvious that was going to happen, but again, it was real cool to see that. Super Smash Brothers, I've always been a Mega Man fan, so I really liked seeing that as well. So, I mean, all in all, there was a lot of real cool things to see there.
Yeah, and, you know, the interesting thing about it was smaller this year than it traditionally was. One of the things is my first hour or so, actually, I had an appointment right off, and I did my appointment, but then I got through it, and I got to do some free roaming. And I was in just one of the halls. And mind you, I'm not saying stopping at every booth along the way. I'm saying going up and down the aisles and saying, that's here, that's here, that one's here, got my appointment there. And 45 minutes later, I had covered everything. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, wow, you know, how about that? And, you know, I found myself that as the day went on, by, you know, considering on day one, they only started at 12. And by 3 o'clock, I had covered all my main appointments, all my big things like that. And so I was able to start consolidating my appointments and saying, you know, hey, I know I'm supposed to see you tomorrow. I know I'm supposed to see you Thursday. I got them all in on Tuesday. And because, you know, number one, the con crowd was going around and I wasn't feeling too thrilled about that. And also it allowed me more time to just really think about things to, you know, when we started doing our end of show awards. And, you know, there were a lot of us in the press room that were discussing that and we couldn't figure it out. It's, did the developers not take up as much floor space? Were the booths smaller? Did you not see as many developers? Because, you know, from a mental check, everybody was there. Yes, I did see 2K. Yes, I did see Valve and, you know, Gearbox and stuff. But there wasn't really anything for them that we know of that to be announced. But I did notice things like there were far less booth babes this year than there had been in previous years. The swag, I mean, you know, last year, every single place you went to, here's a T-shirt, here's a bandana, here's this. And the only thing I saw this year was one T-shirt being offered and one lanyard being offered. Now, mind you, it might have been just the time that I went in and stuff like that. But the focus was definitely on the games. And, of course, that was the great thing about it. This was definitely all about the games. And a lot of people we were talking to in the press room, because, as I mentioned, they don't open until noon on the very first day, 10 o'clock the next days. You get there early, you don't know what LA traffic is going to be like, and you're, you know, sitting in the press room, there's the Wi-Fi, there's the coffee, and of course you start networking with other people. And a lot of us, naturally, were talking about the Xbox One, the PlayStation 4, who had made the good impressions, what we were going to see that day. And the general consensus from a lot of people was that, yeah, it is smaller, not as many people appear to have come out, and the thought was that perhaps so much emphasis was on the two consoles that certain people may have said, now's not the time to come out and make the splash because, you know, it's going to be Microsoft, Sony, and then everyone else. And if you notice, even the games that are making a lot of splash are the ones that are generally connected with, you know, one of those two consoles, or there's something that has a very long history, like, you know, Assassin's Creed, like Batman Arkham Origins, like, you know, Call of Duty Ghost, like Battlefield 4. I mean, these are franchises that are established. They're very popular. They have their following. That's going to be, you know, there regardless. But you didn't see that, at least for me, title that you weren't really expecting a lot out of that came out of nowhere and you went, wow, this is phenomenal. I can't believe I didn't know about this thing. The closest to that, for me, and mind you, I knew about this, this is coming from a decent-sized publisher, is the Mad Max title. We had not heard really anything about it until right there, and then all of a sudden, boom, here's a launch trailer and a banner. The other thing that really stood out for me was Dying Light. I know everybody's going crazy with zombie games right now. You know, you have Left 4 Dead, you've had, you know, Dead Island, you've had all of these. Dying Light really stood out to me because you had a zombie game that combines crafting, survival, but you also had parkour-like movements, being able to, you know, slide under things, vault fences, mount a telephone pole, swing over in an open-world environment where you have to choose side quests, craft your weapons, but there's the constant ticking of the clock that if you're not back in secure locales by nightfall, the enemies become even more abundant and more dangerous. And I thought that really bodes well. You know, Dead Rising 3 looked really good. There was a very nice zombie enclosure that were coming out and getting us. And, you know, as I mentioned, Nintendo stood out. One that really kind of came out of nowhere and stood out to me was Disney Infinity, which has kind of taken a cue from the Skylander series in that they have the little chips that you put down on the platform, and it adds vehicles, objects and obstacles into the game, and you create your environment. And what they showed me was you could take any of the popular Disney characters from past, present, they had Lone Ranger, all the way down to Mickey and Donald and all of them. And they were showing Mike and Sully from Monsters, Inc. and Monsters U running around. They created an environment out of Finding Nemo landscapes, and you could put down enemies to fight, you could put down objects, you could play against people online, you could co-op them. And this is all done by putting down one of these little chips or characters on a pad, and then that adds more things to your toy chest that you can, you know, in turn use. Put down one, pulls out a surfboard from Lilo and Stitch, and he was using that to surf around. And then he put down another one, and there was Dumbo from the Dumbo ride at the theme park. And once you get into it, it flies kind of like a helicopter mode, but now puts down another thing, and boom, all of a sudden it has rocket launchers and stuff like that. And it was very interesting in that I'm thinking, if you're a child that loves Disney, or even a, you know, anybody that likes Disney, being able to create your own custom environments by blending all the different shows and genres, and then take things to a new level. Do you want it to be a car? Do you want it to be, you know, a rocket? Do you want it to do this? I thought that potentially showed off a lot of really impressive, you know, potential. So we'll see how that plays out.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Now, Call of Duty Ghost going head-to-head with Battlefield 4, that's, of course, going to be the, you know, the big thing. I would say if history has shown anything, you know, Call of Duty Ghost is going to be the one that sells through the roof, but that doesn't mean Battlefield 4 isn't going to have its moment in the sun.
Yeah, I think, you know, Call of Duty's been around so long, and, you know, as, I'm actually surprised that the franchise has held out so well since Infinity War kind of fell apart and they split apart. But, you know, I think you're right that Call of Duty will probably end up selling more, but Battlefield 4 will definitely get close. I think it's getting closer to becoming what, you know, EA wants it to be.
Right, and I think the big thing for me that held up Battlefield 3 was that I had the PC version, and it was very unstable for me at launch, and that was a massive frustration for me. It was kind of like unplayable, and you know, they had Medal of Honor, Warfighter, that had similar issues as well, but not as bad. And so for me, it was like you gotta have this thing stable at launch, and it looks like, I mean, let's be honest, Call of Duty has that formula that works, and I appreciate the fact that they were not content to sit on their laurels and give you more of the same. They went out and produced a whole new graphical engine on the thing, which is going to allow for new features in multiplayer like destructible environments. It's going to allow, they had a closed-door thing for us where they showed off some of the features of the engine that, like, for example, when you get up close to objects, the texturing states when you're on a rocky riverbed, instead of just having sloping topography, you can have some rocks higher than others, and, you know, you can have differentials in terrain and stuff like this. They said that had never been possible before. They had to kind of hint at it that, oh, it slopes up, but as you get closer to it, you can kind of see it's all the same. Well, now this is not the case anymore. They have a story that's written by an Academy Award-winning writer-director who did Syriana and Traffic. So they, you know, really, really reached out now. One of the things that I've been curious about, and I just got confirmation on this today from Activision, is that the Black Ops series and the Treyarch ones had always been set in the past. The Modern Warfare ones have been set in the near future. Black Ops 2, you know, it had elements of the near future in it. And so I asked them, I said, okay, are Black Ops and Call of Duty Modern Warfare, whatever, the Infinity War line, are these set in the same universe, same timeline, or are these two entirely different things? Because I was trying to, you know, reconcile the storyline events that we know from Ghosts with how Black Ops 2 went and say, okay, you know, are these connected? Is this an aftermath of what happened in Ghosts? And they told us today, they said, no, actually, they're two different universes. So the storylines are completely unrelated. You can't say, you know, what happened in Black Ops 2. But now you can say, like, what happened in Modern Warfare 1, 2, and 3 are a direct, you know, relation to each other. But the other side's timeline. So I'm very curious to see how this new, you know, how this new adventure works out. I'm very curious to see how playing with the dog in the game is going to work out. Riley's become a very popular part of it. The detail level is amazing. They showed a video where there was an assault on a high-rise building and just, you know, fireworks going off. You were using rappelling lines to get over, attacking the place, you know, floor to floor. But then you had to shoot through the glass. And if you can imagine, you know, you're rappelling down a tall building, looking straight down, and you actually have to look down between your legs and fire at a target through the glass that's coming up on the other side of the glass as you're rappelling down the building, but there's a target directly below you that you have to, like, speed line out, drop down on with knives, stab, and then you can throw the knife and take another one out. And I looked at this and said, you know, this is really getting to the pinnacle of what fans want. A gripping storyline, amazing graphics, you know, combat options beyond belief. And if you can carry those over into the multiplayer, which has always been the bread and butter, then they've really done themselves a service, because rather than wait for sales to drop off, because each, you know, subsequent one has continued to sell, they're saying, we're not even going to wait. We're going to take it up to the next level now and still stay ahead of the game. So I'm really looking forward to see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Battlefield 4 had a commander's mode that looked very interesting. We have the video up on the site now where they had, you know, you can decide, I'm not one to go in and run and gun. This isn't my thing. And you operate a base. And you have all these different little screen options where you can watch all these different other people and kind of command the battle. And some of the people that were playing were saying to us, well, you know, one of the great things about this is there are things like cruise missiles and things like that that you can call in from there. So it's kind of more of a, if you don't want to be a run and gun, hands-on type, but you want to sit back, be tactical, but then drop down, you know, all sorts of bad things on people from time to time, then that's the way to do it, so.
Yeah.
Like you said, the Star Wars game looked very good. I would have liked to have seen more of it, but, you know, you kind of have to go with what's available to you. Destiny looks very good. I really enjoyed playing, you know, PlayStation 4. One of the great things about it was the touchpad, where they showed us I was playing a 3D shooter. And one of the great things about it was, you know, you're going through, you're playing the control. Very interesting, like the thumb controls, they're not rounded. They're almost capped like pinheads. So you can actually, instead of having your fingers, when they get sweaty, your thumbs slide off the top of them, you kind of go into the controller a little bit, which was really an interesting, you know, way of doing things. And another great thing I loved about it was, like I said, getting to the touchpad. So we're playing this shooter, and it's going to be available as a PS4. It's called Blacklight Retribution, by the way. It's going to be available as either a download only for the PS4, and it's also going to be available for the PC. And, you know, standard shooter, you go up against the bots, you go up against the combat, you have a couple of weapons, you can power up your weapons as you go along. And I was looking at it going, you know, at first you go, all right, it kind of looks like any other shooter. What's the difference? And then you notice the detail level is so much higher. You can see so much further in the background with clarity than you can with traditional shooters. And so as I'm going around playing it, there's the little touchpad right at the top. And so just with my fingertip, the guy goes, one of the helpers was there, and he goes, run your fingertip across the touchpad. So I did. And all of a sudden, my guy starts raising his hand up and taunting the other players. And he said they built that in there so you could essentially, like, customize insults and taunts to them just by a flick of a finger. Because, you know, who has time to hit a bunch of buttons and stuff like that if you run your fingertip across the top? And I kind of looked at that, and I'm thinking real-time strategy games. Because for right now, that's a huge plus for them. The Xbox doesn't have that. And I'm thinking, so if I'm playing Command & Conquer, I can run my finger up, you know, use it almost like a cursor, touch a unit, group a unit, bang, go, and then take off the control sticks and stuff. And I think that's going to allow them to bring games to the consoles that, you know, we've seen the MMORPGs. Are we going to start seeing, RTS games and things that we normally don't see coming to the consoles? And I think the answer is yes. Are you going to start seeing features kind of like Nintendo's had an exclusive on, where you can maybe cycle through your inventory by hitting the touch screen, moving your finger along like that, instead of having to hit, you know, arrow keys and buttons. So really, really excited about that. Really excited to see all the, you know, options that are going to be rolling out. Watch Dogs looks absolutely phenomenal. Like you, South Park, The Stick of Truth looks funny beyond belief. I'm really excited to see what these guys do with that. You know, I know it's coming out very soon, but you got Company of Heroes 2, and that's going to be very impressive. So a lot of stuff coming out, and I think the hardest part right now is that right after the show, everybody has all these questions, but now a lot of the developers go back into quiet mode. It's, you know, we've talked about it, we've shown you what we can, now we're going to go into a quiet mode and we'll come and talk to you again at a later date. You know, there's San Diego Comic-Con in a few weeks, and while not a, you know, traditional gaming convention, there have been, you know, there is a sizable contingent. Usually you can expect Sony to be there. Nintendo was there last year. Activision is usually there porting their superhero games. Capcom was there last year showing off Resident Evil 6 and Lost Planet 3. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Are both the developers going to take this opportunity to promote their new console, or are they going to hang back and wait until PAX in September and some of the other shows and really, you know, go all out until then? So very, very interested to see how this is going to play out. And of course, we're going to have our full review in our new magazine. We have some stuff going online and some radio, and so we'll be following up with that. And Justin, anything else that you wanted to cover from E3 2013? I know it's so hard to condense all, you know, 3 days worth of shows in, you know, went to about a half hour, but I think we, you know, definitely covered a lot of the good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think that pretty much covers everything. Keep an eye out for, you know, news. It's still alive.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, just a couple hours ago, the whole Xbox thing. So yeah, I imagine that the whole fallout from E3 isn't over, and we're going to, in the coming weeks, we'll hear more about a lot of these games.
Absolutely. Well, until then, check us out at sknr.net. Please be mindful that we are in the process of rebuilding the site. What I see, unfortunately, is not what you guys see, because I can log in as an admin and see the new layout and everything and as it's coming along. But we'll have a lot of stuff. We'll have our content now appearing in the Tri-Valley News as of Friday, so we're really excited about that. And we're going to be having a new segment coming up in the not-too-distant future where we're going to have a look at the movies that are coming next summer. So until that time, I am Garrett, and Justin is with us as always, and we will see you soon.